Well, awesome. We are going to jump in today. And as I've been thinking and praying and just, Lord, what would you have me to do today? If you've been with us the last several weeks or maybe even on Wednesday nights, we've been talking through the book of John and specifically John 11 and 12. And it's been multiple weeks. And in fact, just a few things, which if you have your Bible, you can pull out or your iPhone, or you'll see some stuff on the screen as we go this morning. But we see that Lazarus died, but he didn't only die, he was dead for 4 days, and Jesus went and raised him back to life. Like, that's pretty cool. It says that he was stinky, but Jesus showed up and moved, and he came back out of that grave. In fact, that happened in such a way that then all of a sudden, the religious leaders who didn't believe in resurrection, definitely of Jesus, were like, we got to get rid of these guys. So they want to kill Lazarus and kill Jesus because of this awesome miracle. Not because they didn't believe it happened, but they knew it happened. And because they knew it happened, they were like, we got to get rid of this because this messes up our little plan and our little theology and what they had. Right? What a crazy situation. Then Jesus is anointed by Mary. And then we see the triumphal entry where he comes. And last week, our Palm Sunday service and Easter egg hunt, which was super fun. But we had all the kids with palm branches last week. And some of you, I know, Sierra, I think you said you just got smacked in the back of the head with the palm branch all service long. Maybe some others of you had the same experience. It was an amazing day. But waving Hosanna to the Most High, putting those palm branches down before the Savior, a red carpet to the Lord. But the people were welcoming Jesus in, but they were believing for a political Savior. They were believing for someone who was going to come raise up an army and get the Romans out. And right after the triumphal entry, Jesus goes to the temple and turns over the money changers' tables and says, that's not it. It's going to be a house of prayer. In other words, he was saying, and what we begin to see, and what you would think they would have known, it's easy for us because we have the whole thing now, but it's, I'm not coming to take out the Romans. I'm coming to save you, to forgive you, to bring life that lasts for eternity. As we continue to walk through this, then we get to this portion in John chapter 13, and we're going to be in 13 and 14 and 17 this morning a little bit. And I just feel that the Lord would want us to hear today what he was speaking and sharing with his disciples right before his death and then his resurrection. And then the second half or so of the word this morning, we're going to talk about those two things. Very important today. But if we miss what his word is to us, if we miss what he's wanting us to get, then the resurrection, the death doesn't even mean anything if we don't get him. We don't get his truth. We don't experience what he has for us. And so we're going to be diving in and we're going to hold on tight, hopefully, as we're going to try to fly through several different things today that I think Jesus wants to specifically speak to some people. And maybe one of them kind of ticks your heart and you're like, oh, like, hold on to that. Maybe you need to write it down or take a picture or whatever it is today. If the Lord would speak, ooh, that might be a word for me, then I want to ask you, hold on to that. Believe that God is going to help you and bring that to about in your life. That he's going to bring that belief to your life, or maybe something you didn't really believe for you, all of a sudden God would speak. And that's where I believe God wants to go. Then we're going to celebrate, have a party. We're going to worship Jesus. We're going to see miracles at the front today. In fact, let your faith continue to rise. We're going to come and pray at the altars. We're going to believe for healings and the miraculous. But as we jump in today, we're going to see some things. Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And today, as we look through these things, Jesus, he shared the way through his love. He shared the way through his words. He shared the way through what he spoke in his word. And as we jump into John 13, we're going to start in verse 7 and 8. And this is a moment when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And they get to Peter. He gets to Peter. And it's like, Jesus says to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet, Jesus. And then Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Peter's like, the Lord is not going to wash my feet. There's no way. And Jesus is not talking about his literal feet, although he was going to do that as a sign. He's saying, if you don't let me wash your spirit. But Peter couldn't quite put it together. He couldn't wrap it all into one. And there's something about realizing if you are not cleansed by Jesus, you're not going to have any part with him. And that's what Jesus is telling Peter, not his actual literal feet, but it's a sign of what was to come through his death and resurrection. And the first thing on an Easter Sunday morning is we must be washed and cleansed, or we will not partake and celebrate and have part with Jesus. In verse 21 and 22, it goes on to say, and after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Speaking of Judas, knew that this was coming and this moment and the troubled nature of our Lord. And I feel as we're thinking about this, I think, yeah, he was bummed. He didn't want to go to the cross, but that's what he came to do. Like, he came to die for us. I don't think that was the troubled part. The troubled part was what one of his children, one of his disciples, one of the people he had poured into was now turning his back. And I feel that the Lord would want someone to know today that Jesus was troubled by the loss of Judas. And that he has a desire for a relationship with you as well. The thought that we so often can think, I've messed up, I've done it, I've betrayed, I've gone the other direction. I want you to know today that Jesus absolutely loves you and cares for you and wants relationship with you, and it's troubling when one of us says no and walks the other direction. But if you are here today, no matter what you've done in the past, he has his arms wide open for you. The one we celebrate says, come on back, come on in, and don't let it be a troubled thing. Say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done, but Lord, I am coming back to you. And someone needs to know he cares for you. He loves you. He has the best for you, and he wants to transform your life. The God of the universe. In verse 36, it goes on, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. I want someone to hear that it's easy to say yes to the ideas in your head and hard to say yes to the path of Jesus. We know the end of the story, and we know that Peter denied him, exactly what Jesus said. We also know that Peter was welcomed back, and he literally led the church forward after Jesus went to be in heaven. Like, that's pretty cool. This guy who denied and rejected and turned his back is the one that led the church when Jesus was taken. Like, what? That is crazy. And it's so often in our life that we want to be like Peter, and we want to say, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to do anything for you. And sometimes when we get right to the practice of it, we might be like Peter, and in front of a servant girl, we might say, I do not know what you're talking about. I do not know that man. And what is this challenge? I think Jesus is speaking, and Jesus is wanting us to hear here today that it's hard sometimes, but you keep on going. You keep on pushing. You keep on going after Jesus, and he will welcome you in. He will welcome you and continue to move forward in you, so don't feel like you've failed and you're not good enough and you don't have enough. No, well, actually, you aren't any of those things. Neither am I. But the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus on the cross and what he did for you covers all of that. And he says, yeah, it might be tough, and you might have even gone the wrong way, but I welcome you. Come to me. Walk in me. And if you've been struggling, it's time to buckle down again, to say, Lord, not with my power, with yours, but we're going to go. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your word. So we go just a few more verses in 14 of John, the first three. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Church, I want someone to hear that there is a reunion coming. if you give yourself to the way, the truth, the life, this life is not all that there is, praise Jesus. This life, in fact, is the worst part of what is, because eternity with God will be the best. And you know what? I love it when there's a good reunion and you see friends and family and people from all over, and one day we are going to be in the presence of God for eternity, worshiping Him. No more tears, death, sorrow, or sin. No more pain, no more loss, no more discomfort, no more of whatever this world can throw at us. And it is worth it to keep pushing. It's worth it to keep going. It's worth it when we fail to stand back up and let God help us move forward. It's so worth it to walk in the cleansing power of Jesus, to let Him wash us clean, to let Him wash us anew. He's so good. Verse 12 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." I want to read that one more time. "Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." There's going to be a reunion. There's going to be the power of God. He's going to help us get there. He wants relationship with us. But he calls us to carry on the work that he began. And he calls us to do it with great power. One of the last things he tells his disciples is, "You've got this, and you're going to do even greater things." And every time I read this, I'm like, Jesus, we're just humans, or Jesus, we're whatever, we can make excuses. In fact, I'm sure every person in this room, I'll speak for you, we all make excuses all the time. God, I can't, or that person could, but I can't, or I've done so much, so this can't take place, or I'm not good enough. And once again, you are right, none of us are good enough, but when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and when Jesus went and left us the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden we are expected to walk in great power to do His will, to carry on the work that He's began. And He tells the disciples right before Good Friday and the glorification of Christ on the cross, right before He comes back to life, "You're going to do greater things. You're going to do greater things," and someone needs to hear that you are called for greater things. And not some people in the room, but all of you are called to greater things. What does the Lord want you to do today? Just the next verse goes on, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus doesn't only say carry it on, but he says, "I'm going to give you the promise of the Spirit. I'm going to pour my life into you. I'm going to pour the Spirit into you. You don't have to do it on your own. You're not praying for a miracle on your own, because that would not be effective. You're not praying to keep going on your own. You're not asking the Lord to do something through you on your own. You're not asking for the grace just to take another step, mom or dad in the room. No, God has got you. He's got you, and he fills you with his Spirit. We can't take just parts of what he is and what he wants to do. But Lord, I need your Spirit in my life so much. I need to be filled. I need to be transformed. I need to continue to look more like you. And I can't do it on my own. So Spirit, would you move in me? Show up in my life. Just two more before we get to death, resurrection, celebration this morning. Verse 23-25. Says Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Church, we have a clear representation of what God has called us to. He reminded me that we can test your love and our love for Jesus by testing our walk against this Bible, against the Word of God. And sometimes I think we overcomplicate things when it comes to our walk with Jesus. And we, I don't know. Like, I can tell you how I'm doing because I can open the Word of God. I can look at the principles. I can look at the commandments. I can tell you, oh, I lied last week. That's not showing love for Jesus. Lord, help me not do that. I gossiped and talked about, nope, I can't do that. Lord, I let my life, my mind go with what culture or society says rather than what your word would say. It doesn't line up. So Lord, help me line up with your word. When I test myself against the word and the spirit bringing it to life, I can know where I'm at. And church, you can too. And the point is not to be like, oh, I'm a failure. Personally, how I go, that's step one. Right into, Lord, thank you that you take that failure away and you give grace to me and then you give me strength to walk forward. But if we just want to do life and be a follower of Jesus and come to church and maybe do Easter and Christmas or maybe come every week or somewhere in between, if we miss the fact that we're called to do what Jesus has called us to do, we miss what Easter is all about. We're called on a daily basis to share his love. We're called on a daily basis to pour out the goodness of God. We're called to look like Jesus more and more. And all of a sudden, we put a covering over us, the word of God, the truth of his word, and our life works better. It looks better. It happens better. I'm a better parent. I'm a better all. And then I realize, oh, why did that come out of me? That does not look like Jesus. And so, Lord, would you help me? I come and I repent. I ask you, help me where I'm weak. Help me where I need strength. Help me, Lord, because I want to be what you've called me to be. You know, the one final before we continue on and hit the second half this morning. Just a couple of chapters forward in chapter 17, we see what my Bible would label the high priestly prayer, Jesus, his big prayer for his church. And the first couple of verses and the last verse of chapter 17 of this prayer, Jesus says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And then in verse 26, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Church, the glorification of Jesus is when he went to the cross, he died for you and me. He took it all upon himself and he prays. He asked God, he says, Lord Jesus, let them see me. And church, someone needs to hear today that Jesus and his love indwelling you, that is the key to your walk with him. It really simplifies this whole process. You don't have to be good enough or great enough or have enough love or have enough strength because we don't. We are humans and we're failures. That's what we do well at. But the love of Jesus, his power and his goodness being poured into us, the grace of God being poured into us, changes us and molds us and makes us and takes our failures and our mistakes and our problems. And all of a sudden we start to look like Jesus because he indwells with us. His love pours out from us, the goodness of God, and all of a sudden what we've done and who we've been and all of that that can be tragic, what has happened to us, what we've done to others, all of a sudden I come under the grace of God and his love pours over me. And all of a sudden we say, I think I'm ready to start talking about the resurrection because I'm ready to start living like he is because he is in me and he is flowing through me. And all of a sudden my life can look so much different than it used to look because it's not me and my strength and my power. I've done great failing on that in my own. But Lord, you and your goodness, your love, your indwelling love in my life makes it so I can make a difference in my world. Somebody needs to hear today that, ma'am, sir, you're right. You can't do it on your own. You don't have enough love. But the love of Jesus in you is all that you need. And your life can be transformed. And you can bring transformation to others because you walk in the room with the power of God in you and flowing through you. And that means that when we get to the next few verses or jump ahead into John chapter 19, when we see what Jesus did for us, he gave everything. He came right to the cross. And I just want us to think through this real fast. That he shared the way, right, through his love, through his teaching, through who he was. But he is the truth. He brought the truth. He brought the answer. He brought all we needed in his sacrifice. The students this week, they watched The Passion of the Christ, a movie from now a long, long time ago. But that movie is so vivid and real of what Jesus went through. If you've never seen it, if you're squeamish, it would not be a good movie to watch. But man, Jesus, the pain, what a cat of nine tails does to your back when it rips off chunks of muscle and skin. And if you think about a crown of thorns, when I get one single thorn in my finger, right? Like, that's terrible. No, had it smashed down upon his head. And then you put a cross, a big wooden beam that you're about to hang on, and you're walking with that, and it is rubbing on your back and rubbing on your head, and it is painful. And any moment, he's the God of the universe, could have said, I think I don't want to do this. At any moment, he could have said, I'm going to go a different way. At any moment, he could have said, this stinks way too bad. I knew it would be bad, but this is too bad. But instead, Jesus kept walking. He kept taking it. One whip after another. One rip out of his back after another. And says, I love them enough. I care for them enough. I'll give it all for them. He walked it up to the hill. They put it up. He was put on and nailed onto this cross, his hands and his feet. And in fact, when you are on a cross, and when this is it, you basically begin to suffocate. Your lungs begin to fill with fluid, and all of a sudden you can't breathe. And you literally, with your feet held up by nails, have to push against that so that you can get enough breath so you can breathe. And you do it over and over and over again. Then we see in John chapter 19, verse 28, he's right at this moment of death. And it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He's the truth. He's the sacrifice. And something happened in this moment. At some point before he died, before the veil was torn in two, before he cried out, it is finished. An awesome spiritual transaction took place. God the Father laid upon God the Son all the guilt and wrath of our sin and all that it deserved. And he bore it in himself perfectly, totally satisfying the wrath of God towards us, towards our sin, not towards Jesus, because he never sinned. That's why he could be sacrificed. He took it all upon himself, the pain and the shame of who we are. On the cross, Jesus became, as it were, an enemy of God who was judged and forced to drink the cup of the Father's fury. So that you and I don't have to, because that would just be death, because we're sinful. We aren't good enough. We don't have it. He took it upon himself, and even on that cross, bearing the pain and the hurt, but then bearing us and our sin, all of us added together, being dumped upon him, he brought healing and life to you and to me. And some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, in Isaiah 53, 3 through 5, it says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their face. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. And church, today, why do we celebrate Good Friday, even though it's the worst day because Jesus died? because he was glorified on a cross and he took it all for you and I. And there's no better day than when our sin and shame was taken away, because there's no way we could have done it on our own. It's Good Friday because of Jesus. He cried out the cry of a winner. Even as he took that liquid, as he stood up one more time and shouted, "It is finished," because he took your shame. He took my pain. He took it all upon himself. With that, he paid in full the debt we righteously owed to God. Jesus, the one who spoke, gave the way of life, the love to show us what we needed, where we needed to go, what he was and who he was. He showed us his love. He is the truth in his sacrifice. And church, then we get to see that he offers life by his resurrection. And in fact, if we just jump back a couple of books into Matthew chapter 28, the first several verses there, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow." What a scene this was. The power of God on display. "And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay.'" Jesus, he offers life through his resurrection. Jesus brings all that we need. He is the answer. He is the hope. He is the one that heals and restores. He is so good and powerful. And in fact, when we look back into John chapter 20, there's a portion, verse 30 in my Bible, that literally is titled, "The Purpose of This Book." I love it when it's just laid out real easy. The purpose of this book. And it says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And you know, when I read that, I think, I wish I had every single thing. Anybody wish you just had every single mirror, every single moment, every single conversation? But you know what? We need that from someone who is dead, that we can't talk to, that we can't commune with. We need that from someone that there's nothing else anymore. But you know, with Jesus, he's not dead. All that needed to be put in this book was enough to lead us into a relationship with the God of the universe, because once we have relationship, then we start talking to him, we start growing in him, we start letting the word become real, we start letting that spirit that we just talked about become real in us and change us and mold us, and all of a sudden we realize we don't even need all that stuff from before, because it's time to let God to start moving now and to do something new in us that his word has already said is supposed to happen, because we're supposed to do greater things, and we're supposed to keep going when we fail, and we're supposed to let the Spirit of God in us. And all of a sudden, we begin to put it all together and realize, church, that we are called to have life and have life in his name. We are called to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we would have life. Church, that's what Easter Sunday is all about. A relationship moving forward. It's not even about, although we celebrate what he did 2,000 plus years ago, but it's about what he's doing today in your life and mine. And it's about what he wants to do through your life as we go and be his hands and his feet. And here in a few moments, we're going to come and we're going to pray at an altar. But before we get to that, I think Peter, the one who had denied Jesus, the one who said no, said, "I don't even know who that is." In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he gets up and he preaches before a massive crowd. We're talking like 50 days after Jesus was put to death. 50 days or so after he said, "No, I don't even know who that is." Now he is preaching to all of these people. God is moving like crazy, and we get to hear the challenge. And I think someone needs to hear this challenge for you. For straight from Peter, straight to you. Verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And my question this morning is there anybody that just like Peter, who you need to respond to Jesus? I'm going to invite our worship team to come back to the front, and our ushers, if you can prepare and make your way to the front. This whole morning is all about one question. Do you know Jesus? Have you repented and given your life to him? Have you made him the Lord of your life so that when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, it's not just some words that we use, but it is the best thing that could possibly be, because we celebrate him and we celebrate what he's done in us, and we celebrate what he's done in our family in the future. We celebrate what he's doing through us because his resurrection lives on in us. And if you're ready to accept the call to repentance, baptism, to walk in him and his power, then right now our ushers who are at the front, they're just going to turn and they're going to walk back. Would you just raise your hand if you want more information about a relationship? You may be ready to start a relationship. You may just want to know what this book is. It doesn't matter. But as they come through, would you just raise your hand? You can get this information. I see a young guy right there. Anybody else in the room? Just information. Yes, sir. More. I think there's more of you. Just asking for info. That's all you're doing. Anybody else? Don't miss a free book. Anybody else? Yep, thank you. All over the room. I see anybody else. We don't want to miss you. If they got by you, I'll call them back to you. Anybody else in the back few rows? Thank you. A bunch who have said, I just want some more information. The second part is maybe here today you'd say, you know what? I know that I'm not walking in a manner of relationship. I've not made Jesus the Lord of my life. I haven't fulfilled what is said in John chapter 19 and the point of the book. I haven't believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I want to believe because I want life. I want life in his name. Right now, I'm going to ask if we could just all bow our heads and close our eyes. And it's not like some crazy religious thing or something you have to do when you pray. In fact, you can pray with your head up and eyes open and whatever's going on. But in this moment, just to focus on Jesus, that's why so often many people pray and maybe bow their heads. And if you'd say, I need Jesus. And here before my church family, before this group of people that love me, I want to start this relationship. Then we're going to pray together here in a few moments. But first, if you've never given your life to him, or you need to rededicate your life because you're not living it, maybe you've denied Jesus and you need to come back to him. And I'm going to invite you right now just to raise your hand real bold. And what I want to do is just see you. You can catch my eye. And then you can go ahead and put it down. I think between Kid Church and in here, we had 7 in the first service who said yes to Jesus. Nothing better than that. And if that's you, would you raise your hand real high? Yes, sir, I see you. You can put it down. Anybody else in the room? Anybody else? I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss you. So good. Anybody else in the room that you need Jesus? This is literally the most important thing that you could possibly do. This is why we're here on Easter Sunday morning. Anybody else in the house? I'll give another 10 seconds. Perfect. Well, I'm so thankful. Hey, Josh, right back there, I think I see a hand. Anybody else? I don't want to move too quick. This is the most important thing. Come on. Well, church, we're going to pray together, and I want to ask you, if you just raise your hand, all that you have to do is ask, Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? And we're going to pray it together. But when we mean it in our heart, the word says there's a party in heaven. They rejoice in what God has done. And we're going to rejoice with you too. And so would you pray? Would you mean? Would you follow me? And then church family, could we all repeat? Could we be in agreement today as we welcome these into the family of God? Let's pray together. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I love you. I make you the Lord of my life. I'm so thankful that you left heaven to come to earth. You lived a sinless life. You went to the cross. You died for me, and you rose again defeating death, hell, and the grave. And you sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me, even now. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. And right now, I repent of my sin. I make you the Lord of my life for the rest of my life. Help me follow you and walk in relationship with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on. Let's give a shout this morning for these who said yes to Jesus. Now, what we're going to do right now is, can I ask us to stand in this room? We're going to have our prayer team come to the front. The things that we prayed for, that we talked about just a few moments ago. If you need to cleanse, some of you are just cleansed by the Savior. If you today say, man, I feel like I've been a denier. I've gone the wrong way like Judas. He loves you. And if you need to know that this morning, if today you say it's been hard, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. Then keep pushing towards him. This morning, if you'd say, man, I'm looking forward to the reunion and he's the way, the truth, and life, and I'm going to live my life in that sort of a way. Or today, if you say, I want to carry on the work of God, I want to keep pushing in great power. Today, if you say, the Spirit of God I need in my life, and I look forward to heaven and his return, but I want to bring heaven to earth, and I need his Spirit to help me. Or if today you say, Lord, I want to test, or I have tested my life against the word, and maybe you're not where you should be, today would you bring that to him? Would you offer yourself to him? He'll help you. And maybe all of us in the room, we need his indwelling, his love in us. And so today, the way, the truth, the life, if you need his power, I want to invite you to come. Maybe you find a place in an altar. Maybe you find one of these groups of people. They would love to pray with you. They would love to pray for you. And little Hank here, he started it off this morning. So I think some other people need some prayer in their life. So come. Don't sit in your seats. We're going to praise. We're going to worship. This whole room is a prayer place. It's a time of prayer. But there's something about believing in faith. So I want to invite you right now as I pray to come. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, God. And we pray, Lord, that every need in this room would be transformed. Lord, every healing need in this place would be made new. And Lord, I pray that even as people step out in faith, that there would be healing in the name of Jesus. By your stripes, we are healed, your word says. Lord, you prayed on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, there is no sickness. There's no tears. There's death, no death. There's no sorrow. There's no pain. None of that stuff in heaven. So, Lord, we pray that as we turn this place into a place of prayer, God, that you, Holy Spirit, would clear us. You would remove anything from us. And, Lord, we walk in your power, your healing. So, Lord, right now, let our faith arise for even supernatural miracles. Lord, that backs would be healed, that elbows would be healed, that shoulders would be healed, that cancer would be burned out of people's bodies, God. Lord, whatever it might be, we pray right now that you would do it. Let our faith arise this morning as we give you the glory and the honor, our celebrated King this morning.
Testimony of faith will be.
church, our God is so good. He lives today. He lives. I can't get it out of my spirit. I feel like there's another person or two this morning that they need a touch of God. And I'm going to ask you, if you just need God to do something, it doesn't matter what it is, will you just raise your hand high? If you want God to just show down, come down, and just give you a special move right now, will you just raise your hand? I see hands. Yep. Yep. Because I want to close by praying for you, for each one of you, that God would simply do what only He can do. The risen Savior, that He would move in your life and that we would go and we'd be all that He's called us to be. If you came in struggling, He's got you. He cares for you. He loves you. If you came in sick today, He's the healer. He said that even greater things would happen. So today, your healing is not too far out there. Not at all. Maybe you have a problem in relationship. It doesn't matter. We're going to believe. So Lord, right now, for those who they have faith in the room to say, Lord, I have something, whatever it is. Lord, I pray that right now you would come. You would wrap them up. They would feel your love. They would feel your grace. They would feel your mercy. They would feel the God of the universe that died on a tree for them but sits now because He rose again at the right hand of the Father, Jesus, because of what you've done. Lord, we ask you for healing. We ask you for wholeness. We ask you for direction. We ask you, Lord, for provision. We ask you for that new job. Lord, we ask you, whatever is going on, Lord, that you would be there. Lord, you died for us, our salvation, and we're so thankful, but Lord, you died for way more than only our salvation. Forgiven, healed, and whole, that's what you want of us, Lord. And Lord, we ask that right now you would do it in each one in this place. Lord, maybe a situation that's out of this place, Lord, I pray that you would go before us, and each person goes, that they would bring the power of the resurrected Savior with them, Lord, and that problem, that situation, Lord, would be resurrected. Life would be brought back to it, God. Lord, we worship you. We need you. We glorify you today. Lord, we're thankful because you live. Because you live, we can face tomorrow no matter what. No matter what's before us, God, we can face tomorrow. We worship you, our risen Savior. Do your work in each one of us. Lord, let each person go in the power of who you are, Jesus. We are so, so, so thankful. You're so good. We love you, Jesus. Church, could we just give the Lord one more clap of shout of praise? He's so good today. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for who you are and what you've done. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship. We worship. Church, I pray that this week you walk in the absolute power of the Holy Spirit, that you walk in the goodness of God that struggles with it last week, that you're going to walk with a new authority and power. Our resurrected Savior goes with you and before you and behind you. He's all around you. Let's take the power of the resurrection with us today. Share with somebody what God has done. Let someone know that you've been in church. Maybe text somebody. Say, this was the best. Just being in the presence of Jesus. I love it. Church, I want to invite you, if you're newer to Radiant Life Church, next Sunday morning, right after either service, we're going to be in the glass room, a party with the pastors. I would love, my wife, Rachel, we would love to get to know you, just be able to say hi. If we can be a blessing of any way we want to be, don't hesitate to reach out. We're so thankful for every one of you. And this week, Radiant Life Church, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Let's celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus. Have a great week.